It's a new day. Hear his word, let us pray. The sunrise morning show.
It is Tuesday, the 17th of May. Let's begin together in prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, in a world divided, we pray for your spirit of peace. God of peace, make peace among those at war. God of justice, make right what we have made wrong. God of goodness, make holy what we have turned to our own selfish ends. God of peace, you sent among us the Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus Christ. Through the victory of his cross, put to death all within and around us that is still dedicated to division and death. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Happy Easter. As we continue through the season, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord, it is the Sunrise Morning Show. I'm Matt Swaim. Anna Mitchell has news. Paul Lockman at the controls here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Up this hour, Father Boniface Hicks will talk about the role of our feelings in vulnerability in prayer. We've been going through his book, Personal Prayer, A Guide to Receiving the Father's Love. Marlon De La Torre will talk about finding the spiritual hunger and realizing people's needs for spiritual healing when evangelizing. It's not just about the arguments. Actually, the arguments are usually motivated by the hurts and the wounds. Bobby Schindler is going to talk about Vermont and Oregon and their efforts to expand physician-assisted suicide. And then we got more stuff to memorize from the Stoics with Dr. Kevin Vost at the end of the hour. So stay with us if you can. Right now, it is 2 minutes past. Here's Anna Mitchell with news.
Good morning. Senators are advancing a bill aimed at providing more aid to Ukraine. The vote was 81-11. The measure would give $40 billion in aid to help the war-torn country fight off the Russian invasion. A final vote on the measure is expected later this week. Republicans, like Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, have delayed passage of the measure over concerns about how the money would be spent. Meanwhile, leaders of Caritas Ukraine have highlighted the plight of children suffering since the Russian invasion began. Vatican News reports there was a press conference yesterday to update the humanitarian situation in Ukraine and how the Caritas network is addressing it. They said out of 14 million refugees, 1.5 million are displaced children who are at risk of becoming victims of human trafficking. A baby formula plant could be up and running again after a closure resulted in the current nationwide formula shortage. Mark Mayfield has more.
Abbott, the company with a shuttered plant in Michigan, has entered into a consent decree with the FDA in a bid to restart production at its facility. A court must approve it, and initial requirements to restart the plant must be met. When that happens, the facility could come back online within 2 weeks. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Starbucks is the latest company now willing to cover travel costs for women seeking out-of-state abortions. Workers can be reimbursed if they travel far or out-of-state for an abortion. Amazon and Apple are other big names on the growing list of nationwide companies doing this. This following the leaked draft of a Supreme Court opinion in Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health, showing that Roe v. Wade could be overturned as soon as next month. Pope Francis yesterday spoke to members of a political fraternity of young adults, and in his address, the Holy Father invited them to foster dialogue and encounter and to take action for the common good of humanity. From Vatican Radio, Linda Bordoni reports.
The Chemin Neuf political fraternity brings together young people aged between 18 and 35. They're from different countries and political cultures, all of them motivated by the same passion for the common good and the poor, and eager to act in politics according to the gospel message. Addressing a group of its members in the Vatican on Monday, Pope Francis offered a reflection on the genuine meaning of politics for Christians. First and foremost, he said, Politics is an art of encounter.
La politica è innanzitutto l'arte dell'incontro.
The gospel, in fact, demands that we love our enemies. And this, he said, means that we are called to see political encounters as fraternal encounters, especially with people who disagree with us. It's an attitude, he continued, that requires us to change the way we look at others, showing acceptance and respect. Otherwise, politics risk turning into a violent confrontation where people try to impose their own ideas and pursue particular interests over the common good. Another important prerequisite for Christians involved in politics, Pope Francis said, is the capacity to share reflection, recognizing that politics must pursue a general good. In a word, he said, the whole is greater than the part. Finally, action. Action, which means that as Christians, we must always be realistic, confronting our ideas with hard reality, lest we build on sands that sooner or later end up shifting. Let us not forget, he said, that realities are more important than ideas. I'm Linda Bordoni.
New details are being revealed about New York's mass shooting on Saturday. It appears the alleged gunman spent at least 2 months planning the attack. Police say he visited the Buffalo area back in March and returned on Friday to scope out a grocery store. The manager reportedly saw him sitting on a bench outside for hours and asked him to leave. The 18-year-old is accused of returning the next day and shooting 13 people, killing 10. He's due back in court on Thursday. And a dress worn in one of the most famous movies of all time may not hit the auction block after all. A judge in New York scheduled a hearing on Judy Garland's Wizard of Oz dress for Monday, a day before it's scheduled to be sold. The issue is who owns it. The Catholic University of America says it received the dress as a gift and thought it was lost until recently. But a woman in Wisconsin claims it belongs to the estate of her late uncle. Interesting. Today is Tuesday, May the 17th. We are happy to have you along with us here on the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN. Up next, Father Boniface Hicks joins us at 7 past.
Support is from Revelation Media.
A battle is raging in America for the plight of the unborn. Now is the time to pray and to get involved. Do not miss the new award-winning movie, The Matter of Life. The Matter of Life has been hailed as the best film ever produced concerning the unborn and can be seen for 2 nights only in a theater near you. Visit FathomEvents.com to reserve your tickets for May 16th or May 17th. That's FathomEvents.com. F-A-T-H-O-M Events.com. It's a matter of life.
Sunrise Morning Show continues. I'm Matt Swaim, joined now by Father Boniface Hicks, and we've been going through his book, Personal Prayer, A Guide to Receiving the Father's Love, and focusing recently on the question of vulnerability in prayer. Father Boniface, good morning.
Good morning, Matt. Great to be with you.
You know, Obi-Wan Kenobi tells Luke to trust his feelings, right? And, you know, in some ways that can be good, but and in many ways, Father, I don't trust my feelings at all. So how do we navigate this question of these extremely subjective moves of our emotions when it comes to opening up to God in prayer?
Well, our feelings do correspond to our experience of reality and the way that we conceptualize it. So there are a number of things that need to get a little bit rearranged in us. If our feelings are leading us astray, then there's some work to do in our hearts, and some of that can happen in the spiritual direction that you and I spent a lot of time talking about over the last year. But it can also happen in prayer, just at the level of opening up our feelings as they are. So not judging them, not fixing them, not shoving them somewhere, but just being in touch with what's happening inside of us. We tend to be a little bit of an inner storm in some cases, or there are various things that are going on in our hearts, and it can be so helpful just to open them up in prayer, just to tell the Lord about them. As we've, most of us have figured out in relationships, and especially when we have those relationships with someone that we can love and trust and just be honest with, that I'm really anxious right now, or I'm really afraid, or I'm really attracted to this person, or I'm pining after this thing in my life, or I have a strong desire for something else. So we have or I'm disgusted by something, or I'm so angry about this this thing that happened. When we can be honest with our feelings, it's just an expression of what's inside of us. One might say, well, feelings are facts. You know, we don't need to, before we judge them that I ought to feel this or I shouldn't feel that or I whatever, just to be honest about them. And that's where it comes up in vulnerability and prayer, is just expressing, opening, sharing with the Lord what's going on in our hearts.
Well, that was a very handy summary of the book of Psalms that you just gave, Father, but answer the question. Right? I mean, isn't that what the Psalms are?
Yeah, totally. The Psalms really capture the full range of human experience, which involves also human feelings, the laments and the cursing psalms and psalms of praise and all of those different dimensions of our human experience that really are captured by the Psalms. And that's the church's prayer. You know, as a monk, we pray all 150 psalms, and most of them every week, and it really invites us to express, using God's own words, right, in Scripture, what's going on in our hearts, the full range of human emotions.
So with that, I mean, as you're mentioning it, when we think about our human friendships, our friends are not the people who we share stuff with because we feel like they can solve all our problems. Often our friends are the friends that they're people we share stuff with because we feel like there's a safety in that relationship that makes us feel like we can disclose what we're really feeling, that we wouldn't be able to disclose to a whole bunch of other people. And when we're talking about this question of a personal relationship with God, I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about. It's not that God solves every single problem on our timeline in the way that we want. It's just there's a safety and a relationship there.
Yeah, that's right. I like to define intimacy as my interiority being taken into your interiority. When my interior is inside of you, then there's an intimacy there. And God is the one who is capable of going into the deepest places in us and taking the deepest places in us into himself. He's capable of the deepest intimacy. And that's the intimacy that really bonds hearts and ultimately transforms minds and wills along those same lines. And being able to share what's going on inside of me with God and knowing that he lovingly takes that inside himself. Like you said, he's not there to sort of analyze and direct, and you need to do this, and you ought to do that, and you shouldn't feel this. And he's really there to receive us, first of all. And as you say, that's exactly what we have in our best friendships. We have somebody who will listen, who will be open, who will take it in, and who isn't there to, first of all, judge. You know, there are things, obviously, we don't sort of endorse everything as okay just because I feel it or I want to do it or something like that. But we have to start with that honesty. And honesty can be expressed in a safe place in the context of someone who loves us.
Well, I mean, there's no, in the book of Psalms, there's not like a paragraph before and after each psalm that says, well, technically David was in the wrong here, but here's what he was feeling. You know, we don't get that kind of backdrop. We get some backdrops, you know, that, you know, for example, Psalm 51, we get the backdrop written right there in the notes to the psalm that this is after David was sorry for something that he did that was terribly wrong, and here's him being sorry for it. But most of the time, we just get the emotions and don't get much of the context.
That's right. Yeah, when we start with the honesty of the emotions, then we can sort of dial back to figure out why they're there, what's happening there, because we are often a mystery to ourselves. I love that passage from Jeremiah, how treacherous the ways of the human heart. Who can understand it? I mean, we are complicated. And fortunately, God alone searches the mind and knows the heart, and he's the one that can reveal us to ourselves. But if we are afraid to express some of these things, and that's part of the problem, is there's certain things, strong emotions have often been shamed in, and even for religious reasons, and we feel like they don't belong in prayer, We're afraid to be angry, afraid to be sad. We're afraid to be distressed or anxious, or we're supposed to trust. And we have to start with where we are and be loved. And then that gives us some freedom to move those emotions in a different direction.
Yeah, good stuff. Father Boniface Hicks, the book is called Personal Prayer, A Guide for Receiving the Father's Love. We got it linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Father, always great talking to you, and we'll check in with you again next week.
Thanks so much, Matt. God bless.
All right, let's check on weather for the nation. The Midwest and Northern Plains will see some morning rain showers and isolated thunderstorms throughout the day, including eastern Nebraska, eastern Kansas, Oklahoma, also South Dakota, Iowa, and Illinois. Thunderstorms likely to develop in northeast Colorado and southeast Wyoming as well. Eastern New Mexico and West Texas may also have to deal with isolated thunderstorms, and those could produce some gusty winds. That could be some problematic territory for firefighters working on wildfires, so keep them in your prayers. Locations along the eastern seaboard and across the southeast will mainly be dry, save for some isolated sea breeze thunderstorms in Florida and along the Gulf Coast. The southwest and northwestern U.S. will be mild and dry. Got headlines with Anna Mitchell coming up after the break. It's a quarter past.
Looking for peace? Longing for joy? God is calling you to know and love Jesus Christ like never before and to help others do the same. God is calling you to bring Ignatian prayer into the suffering world, to work for the new evangelization. Here's your opportunity. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, order the free digital training and facilitator manual, LordTeachMeToPray.com. Click on the red button now. God is calling you. Underwritten by Lord Teach Me to Pray.
Support is from Revelation Media.
A battle is raging in America for the plight of the unborn. Now is the time to pray and to get involved. Do not miss the new award-winning movie, The Matter of Life. The Matter of Life has been hailed as the best film ever produced concerning the unborn and can be seen for two nights only in a theater near you. Visit FathomEvents.com to reserve your tickets for May 16th or May 17th. That's FathomEvents.com. FathomEvents.com. It's a matter of life.
Healthcare that works better and costs less? Seems like an oxymoron, right? Solidarity HealthShare members say that faith-based health sharing is a much better fit than insurance, all while costing less. Prices start at $384 a month for families. To find out how much you can save, 855-954-5688. That's 855-954-5688. Solidarity HealthShare supports the Sunrise Morning Show.
Started drinking beer on Saturday nights, sleeping in on Sunday mornings, missing Mass, and it just became a pattern and continued. Without God, I don't know where I'd be right now. I feel like I'm whole again. I know the importance of the Eucharist. I know the importance of the sacraments that I didn't know at a young age. I follow God's will because my desire is to get to heaven. Our lives are rich and full by being members of the church.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
18 past. Here's Anna with headlines.
A baby formula plant could be up and running again after its closure resulted in the current nationwide formula shortage. In Washington, senators are advancing a bill aimed at providing more aid to Ukraine. And Starbucks has become the latest nationwide company willing to cover the costs for a destination abortion.
And as Paul was quipping as you were reading that story, hey, we don't want you missing any work over here. I mean, it's crazy.
I don't know all of the family leave policies that these companies have. I know Amazon.
It would be interesting to see.
Amazon last week became one of the more recent announcements to do this. Apple is another. I heard that Amazon has pretty good parental leave policies. Thank God. I hope Starbucks does. I mean, if you're going to pay for a woman to go get an abortion, you better be paying for a woman to have her child too. Like, that's pro-choice if that's what you want to be.
If not, you are not offering a choice at all.
Yeah, you're not offering a choice at all.
You're saying get an abortion or you're out of work. I mean, this
exactly.
And there are many, you know, of course, ways to address this question, but there is this, I mean, this frustrating pressure that's put on so many people that you got to go out and make your money in the world, mm-hmm. and then you can start having kids in your 30s and mm-hmm. and later. You know, there are people who put off marriage for this very reason.
Yep.
And so it's a corporate culture that is anti-family in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
This corporate culture that, you know, is very bad for the maintenance of marriages in many ways.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
The almighty dollar.
You'll also notice that while our authors will send you sometimes still to go check out their books on Amazon, we've cut down our references to Amazon in yeah. wake of some yeah. of this stuff,
this
too.
This is a bridge too far for us.
It's a bridge too far. Bridge too far. But unfortunately, too many others are following suit. An easy way to remember and celebrate all 50 days of the Easter season? Treat yourself to a pot of Mystic Monk coffee every morning with special roasts like Pascha Java and Easter Sunrise Blend.
And when you go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click the Mystic Monk link on the side of the page, a portion of your purchase price comes back to help us fund the show.
And while you're at our site, check out our online store to get Sunrise Morning Show mugs and travel mugs.
Get a mug and link to Mystic Monk Coffee through sonrisemorningshow.com.
You listen to the Sunrise Morning Show? Well, imagine promoting your business right here to other listeners of the Sunrise Morning Show. You'll reach like-minded folk across the nation on over 300 radio stations, each of those stations with thousands and thousands of listeners, not to mention all the people who listen on Sirius Satellite and our online app. Find out more about national underwriting of the Sunrise Morning Show by emailing me, Leah, at sacredheartradio.com. L-E-A-H at sacredheartradio.com.
If there is one psalm that bears a great fascination for Christians, it is Psalm 22. Like many others, it is a call for the Lord's help. But Psalm 22 contains elements that seem particularly Christian. The opening verse of the psalm was quoted by Jesus on the cross. Later verses give details of the sufferings that Jesus endured. My God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my prayer, from the words of my cry. My heart is like wax, melting away within my bosom. Indeed, many dogs surround me. A pack of evildoers closes in upon me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. They have numbered all my bones. They look on me and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them. For my vesture, they cast lots. O Lord, be not far from me. O my help, hasten to aid me. For Sacred Heart Radio, I'm Father Dale Peterka.
The Sunrise Morning Show continues. I'm Matt Swaim, joined now by Dr. Marlon De La Torre, and he joins us from the Archdiocese of Detroit. You can also find his blog, Knowing is Doing. .org, linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Marlon, good morning.
Good morning, Matt. Go Bucks.
So we talk all the time about the ways to evangelize and the importance mm-hmm. of evangelization. But when it comes to seeing the person, I mean, I think this is kind of like a dignity of the human person question. How important is it to recognize not just that someone has a wrong idea about a particular piece of theology, but that they have a hurt and a need and a spiritual hunger?
Well, I think that's first and foremost the most pivotal thing for anyone engaged in Christian dialogue. When you speak well of God, when you're trying to speak well of our Lord and trying to help someone understand that, you can't just automatically assume that they're an open door or a sponge. You just may not be aware of all the ramifications of their life. Maybe the spiritual hurt or wounds that they're carrying or things that they've been holding on to that maybe cause them not to want to believe in God or walk away or run away from him. So when you dialogue with someone, and I use the term dialogue or communication or talk or conversation with anyone, not just to be plainly aimless. No, there's something direct and distinctive when you speak with someone. You're first affirming their identity and their presence. That's distinct. So when you're talking about God to someone who may not want to hear it, you have to first and foremost make sure that this adequate presence is given to that person, or deference to the fact that he or she does exist and that they are of self-worth. And that'll help in many ways diffuse some of the pain or hurt that they're experiencing, because you're actually taking the time to recognize, hey, I'm here, I'm not perfect. You recognize that I have many wounds or faults, or that I'm lost or aimless, and you're at least willing to listen to my story or what I have to say. That could take time, but also it could open a lot of doors and bring at least some subtle healing to the person, so that they in turn can be open to you and open to any dialogue or language or conversation about our Lord, slowly but subtly. So it's very important that you're aware of where the person's coming from as best as you can.
You know, it's interesting, Marlon, and at the Coming Home Network, a lot of people know us for working with Protestants who are becoming Catholic, and sometimes Protestant pastors who are becoming Catholic. Mm-hmm. You know, that's sort of what our trademark is. And the fact of the matter is that we do a lot of that. We work with a lot, Marlon, of people who are Catholics who left the church for sometimes decades and are now on the path back. And very often when I ask them why they left, or when we, you know, get into discussions in our online community about what they left, they don't say, well, I studied the evidence for the Eucharist and I came to the conclusion that simply the claims that the Catholic Church makes about this are not true. No, there's things are like, you know, my dad was in the hospital and nobody from the church reached out to us, right? Like, that's why they leave very often. I mean, it's something personal. It's something, they feel hurt. They feel like they weren't seen. Like, they feel like they needed something and nobody was there for them. There's real hurt. And sometimes if you're just dealing with the person in the realm of argument and ignoring that that's why they're doing all this, that's why they're having all these kinds of, you know, anger issues or hurt issues. I mean, you're missing out on the thing that can bring them back.
Absolutely. I mean, whether you look at any, not to make it topological here or even proof texting, but when you look at sacred scripture, for example, and you look at, say, the prophet Jeremiah or Isaiah, or you read John's gospel and the Way of Love discourse, beginning really from John 12 on and what have you, you have multiple examples of a Lord addressing the human condition and addressing the hurt and pain that the people around him are walking through, or his beatitudinal call, for example, in Matthew 5. Now, all these are examples, not to proof text anything, but to understand the human condition. And that's vital when you're evangelizing, when you're speaking with someone. I mean, the story I wrote for my latest piece, the person, John, that I actually worked with, it took some time before he opened up to me, and he was harboring a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. And if he would have started by proclaiming, you've got to have a personal relationship with Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he would have slapped you. I mean, he said he wasn't ready for anything of that nature, or let alone that language. He was hoping that someone would hug him the way he wasn't hugged, if that makes sense. He was hoping for someone to at least embrace him the way he was not embraced as a child. That opened the door. And you have to be keenly aware of that and not come with your own dispositions on what the human being needs, but more of be open to what lies ahead. They want to see goodness. They want to see joy. They want to see somebody who at least will enrapture them in a good way of being a child who's wanted. And I say this from the example of John to the priests I've worked with in the pastoral provision who were coming from the Anglican Church, Episcopal Church, to the Catholic Church, when I work with them in their journey. Same thing. Some of them were harboring wounds from their pastorship that they needed healing. So we just sat down and spoke with them, nurtured them, walked with them until they were ready to be formed again in many respects in preparation for the ministry in the Catholic Church. So it doesn't matter what state they're in or what their background. Hurt is hurt. Healing is healing. And that's literally what many of the folk we encounter need.
Yeah, Jesus did not come to merely correct some wrong information about the Father, right? He came to show us the Father's love. And, and you know, so many of his healings were not just to prove his power, but rather to display, you know, his identification with us, to show his desire to heal us, to bring us into relationship with him. So,
amen.
Good stuff. Marlon De La Torre, we've got knowingisdoing.org, linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. The title of the blog post, "Do Not Underestimate a Person's Need for Spiritual Healing When Proclaiming the Gospel of Jesus Christ." Thanks, Marlon. Have a great day.
Appreciate it, Matt. God bless. Go Bucks.
Of course, it's all linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Half past the hour, here's Anna Mitchell with news.
Good morning. Relief could be coming for parents struggling to find baby formula. A factory in Michigan is expected to reopen and resume production by the end of the month, but Abbott Nutrition says it will still take up to 8 weeks to restock store shelves. The company shut down back in February after recalling Similac and other baby formulas, making the nationwide shortage even worse. Officials reached an agreement with the FDA to fix safety issues. In Washington, senators are advancing a bill aimed at providing more aid to Ukraine. Brian Shook reports.
The vote was 81 to 11. The measure would give $40 billion in aid to help the war-torn country fight off the Russian invasion. A final vote on the measure is expected later this week. Republicans like Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky have delayed passage of the measure over concerns about how the money would be spent. I'm Brian Shook.
Leaders of Caritas Ukraine have highlighted the plight of children suffering since the Russian invasion of the country began. Vatican News reports there was a press conference yesterday to update the humanitarian situation and how the Caritas Network is addressing it. They said out of 14 million refugees, more than 1.5 million are displaced children who could become at risk to being victims of human trafficking. One speaker said they are only in the beginning of the response, saying there is a long road ahead that will need continued accompaniment. New details are being revealed about the mass shooting in Buffalo on Saturday. Mark Mayfield reports.
It appears the alleged gunman spent at least 2 months planning the attack. Police say he visited the Buffalo area in March and returned on Friday to scope out a grocery store. The manager reportedly saw him sitting on a bench outside for hours and asked him to leave. The 18-year-old is accused of returning the next day and shooting 13 people, killing 10. He's due back in court Thursday. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Pope Francis met yesterday with members of the Chameleon Order, encouraging them in their ministry of caring for the sick and vulnerable. From Vatican Radio, Devin Watkins reports.
The Pope noted that the religious order proposes to find new ways of evangelization and closeness in order to faithfully revitalize their charism of being at the service of the sick. He said St. Camillus de Lellis felt the call to give life to this religious family that would live the commandment of love by proclaiming the gospel and caring for the sick. The Pope said our own times are marked by an individualism and indifference that generate loneliness and result in the discarding of many lives. So, he said, the Christian response lies in charity that knows how to love its own time and humbly bears witness to the gospel. The Holy Father went on to note that the style and apostolate of the Chameleons recalls two essential dimensions of the Christian life: the desire for an extroverted witness to others and the need to understand oneself using the gospel value of littleness. Pope Francis invited them to draw from the Beatitudes to bring the glad tidings to the poor with meekness and simplicity, and to refresh one another in the confidence that a good deed done to a suffering brother or sister is a gift to Jesus himself. Do not neglect to cherish the memory of the first love with which Jesus conquered your heart, he said, in order to renew always your choice of consecrated life from the roots. The Pope also enjoined the Chameleons to cultivate the spirituality of communion that will help to better discern what the Lord wants from you. Concluding, Pope Francis thanked the Chameleons for what they are and what they do in the Church, noting that the charism of St. Camillus de Lellis helps make the Church a good field hospital where the wounded can experience and feel the closeness and tenderness of Christ. It is up to you to give hands, feet, mind, and heart to this gift of God, he said, so that it may continue to inspire the works of God in our time. I'm Devin Watkins.
The Biden administration is easing some policies in relation to Cuba. The State Department says families will be able to more easily visit their loved ones in Cuba. This is because the Cuban Family Reunification Parole Program is being reinstated. Authorized American travelers will also be able to do things like go to meetings. Wildfires around the country have burned almost 400,000 acres. There are currently four big fires blazing in New Mexico. The Hermit's Peak fire is the largest and has charred more than 350,000 acres. It is 27% contained. That's the news. It's 35 past the hour. The
Looking for an easy way to remember and celebrate all 50 days of the Easter season? Treat yourself to a pot of Mystic Monk coffee every morning with special roasts like Pascha Java and Easter Sunrise Blend.
And when you go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click the Mystic Monk link on the side of the page, a portion of your purchase price comes back to help us fund the show.
And while you're at our site, check out our online store to get Sunrise Morning Show mugs and travel mugs.
Get a mug and link to Mystic Monk Coffee through sonrisemorningshow.com.
You listen to the Sunrise Morning Show? Well, imagine promoting your business right here to other listeners of the Sunrise Morning Show. You'll reach like-minded folk across the nation on over 300 radio stations, each of those stations with thousands and thousands of listeners, not to mention all the people who listen on Sirius Satellite and our online app. Find out more about national underwriting of the Sunrise Morning Show by emailing me, Leah, at sacredheartradio.com. L-E-A-H at sacredheartradio.com.
The Baltimore Catechism asks, why should we be sorry for our sins? We should be sorry for our sins because sin is the greatest of evils and an offense against God, our Creator, Preserver, and Redeemer, and because it shuts us out of heaven and condemns us to the eternal pains of hell. Sin is the greatest of evils, first because it destroys our soul, and actually makes us lower than the beasts. Beasts can't do any sin because they don't know what they're doing, but man can. Sin is also an offense against God, our Creator, and just like a good parent, He's the one who wants the best for us. Finally, the consequences of sin are that it shuts us out of heaven and condemns us to the pains of hell, because heaven is the greatest happiness, hell the greatest sadness. And so therefore we can see that we should truly be sorry for our sins, and that's going to help us to keep the faith until death. Reflecting on the Baltimore Catechism, I'm Dominican Father Ezra Sullivan.
Support is from Revelation Media.
A battle is raging in America for the plight of the unborn. Now is the time to pray and to get involved. Do not miss the new award-winning movie, The Matter of Life. The Matter of Life has been hailed as the best film ever produced concerning the unborn and can be seen for two nights only in a theater near you. Visit FathomEvents.com to reserve your tickets for May 16th or May 17th. That's FathomEvents.com. F-A-T-H-O-M Events.com. It's a matter of life.
Bobby Schindler is back with us now on the Sunrise Morning Show from the Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network. Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning, Annie.
So we're looking today at a couple of ways the assisted suicide movement could be moving forward. First of all, tell us what's happening in Vermont.
Right. So you're right, Annie. It's becoming more and more concerning. So in Vermont, they recently passed a law that is allowing physician-assisted suicide because it's already legal there. So what's changed is they've allowed it now to occur by telemedicine, meaning Zoom or Skype. So essentially, this eliminates, my understanding is this eliminates the previous requirement that the doctor must examine the patient. So that means that the patient who is asking to be for the lethal drugs to be killed will never meet the person. I think with obviously with what triggered this, it seems to me is the COVID pandemic, because there was a lot of telemedicine occurring,
which is so ironic
because of the pandemic. So now they're going to be offering it to physician-assisted suicide, and we can see the potential dangers of this happening, Annie.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, kind of ironic, I would think, that the COVID pandemic and trying to protect people's health would be why you could then get aid from a physician to help you kill yourself. I mean, it seems to me, Bobby, and maybe I'm wrong, but it seems to me that the most important thing that someone who is in a situation where they are seeking to end their own life, they need a real human connection at that point in their life.
Well, obviously, Annie, but these pro-death people that are pushing assisted suicide, it's never about the patient. It's about death on, it's about the patient, but it's about death on demand, and they'll do anything they can to make it easier for people to kill themselves. And Andy, when you look at what happened in Oregon recently, and you look at the connection, the possible connection, what just happened in Vermont, you can see why this could be really troubling. Because in Oregon recently, where assisted suicide has been legal for many, many years, I believe it was legalized over 20 years ago, they no longer have to be a resident in Oregon. So you can travel, say, from Ohio, because assisted suicide is illegal in Ohio, but if you want to kill yourself, now you can pop on a plane and go to Oregon and do it there. So
destination suicides.
Well, yeah, tourism is what they like to call it. So put two and two together here, Annie. Yeah. So what's coming next? Can you guess what we're going to see next?
Yeah, I can. I can imagine that somebody in Ohio could get on a Zoom call with a doctor in Oregon and get the cocktail they need.
Exactly. Well, what's coming next is the assisted suicide lobby can say, well, why should we make someone in Ohio who is, you know, suffering and is sick and wants to end their life, why are we going to make them travel all the way to Oregon to kill themselves? Why not just set up a telemedicine call and they can do it just the same way that they're doing in Vermont? So you can see Pandora's box being close to being open in the assisted suicide. So once that happens, Annie, once they legalize telemedicine and open up to any state to say consult with a doctor in a state where it's legal, then the next thing, it becomes legal nationwide to offer assisted suicide to those that, you know, whatever restrictions they put in place, which are hardly any anymore when it comes to people that want to kill themselves.
Yeah, I think we're seeing similar movements with telemedicine and the abortion movement as well. I wanted to ask about safeguards. I mean, have you seen, do they put any kind of safeguards in place with this?
Well, I just received an email from a supporter of ours, an organization, and they were updating Colorado, which legalized assisted suicide 5 years ago, and they gave a 5 years update because there are some watchdogs in place that try to monitor that to make sure that these restrictions are honored, so to speak. And they said nearly 1 in 7 cases of physician-assisted suicide in Colorado, doctors are not submitting the proper paperwork. So, you know, Wesley always talks about this. You know, Wesley's been writing about assisted suicide for many, many years. And he says these protections soon become obstacles, and then access to help facilitate deaths are improved to make it easier to kill. So basically, what they sell this on is these protections, but soon the protections turn into these obstacles. They use that argument to remove these protections to make it easier to kill people. That's what we're seeing with this telemedicine, Annie. That's what we're seeing with Oregon opening it up to other residents from other states to come to Oregon to kill themselves. And we'll see what happens next. That's why legislatures and states, we have to be vigilant about this and have to start passing laws that won't allow state residents, say, so to speak, use telemedicine or travel to other states to kill themselves if possible legislation can be passed to establish those types of laws.
Well, it makes me wonder, too, Bobby, if this is going to turn into a situation similar to your sister's, where somebody who has sort of power of attorney or whatever, you know, like the power to make medical decisions on behalf of someone else decides over, you know, to consult with a doctor over Zoom and be able to access these kind of death cocktails to, you know, quote unquote, put someone out of their misery.
You know, Annie, you bring up a very interesting point in question, because I thought that by now that's what was coming next with people like my sister, because we are starving, dehydrating these individuals to death, and it is a barbaric way to die, although the people on the other side, you know, these death cults say that it's a peaceful and painless way to die. Nevertheless, I'm surprised by now they haven't pushed legislation to kill people like Terry with a lethal injection rather than starve and dehydrate them to death. But, you know, obviously that could still happen. In fact, I expect it to happen at some point. And, yeah, once you have that, then when you have access to telemedicine, it just there's no limit to it. I mean, it's unlimited to what they'll think of what they can do to help people kill themselves. And if they can think it, they're going to try and do it.
It's a slippery slope, certainly. And speaking of your sister's story, Bobby, I understand you have an update as well on the Lawless podcast that's been featuring the story of Terri Schiavo.
Right. Thanks, Annie. Yeah, we're in, I think the sixth episode has been released. There's one every Thursday, and it's receiving a tremendous response. They are just very thrilled at the response that they're getting so far. And I got to tell you, Annie, Lynn is doing one heck of a job investigating Terri's case. There's been several, she's exposed things that I was not even aware of with my sister's case, and I thought I knew everything. So please listen to it. You can go to lifeandhope.com and access the podcast. It's just that she's doing an amazing job, and we're getting a tremendous amount of positive feedback.
Awesome, and you can find that lifeandhope.com linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. That's sonrisemorningshow.com. Thank you so much, Bobby Schindler. Up next on the Sunrise Morning Show, Dr. Kevin Vost continues to look at the handbook of the Stoic Epictetus and lessons we can learn from it. He's author of Memorize the Stoics. Plus headlines, it's a quarter till.
Experience the incredible story of a woman who Time magazine named the most influential Catholic woman in the United States. Rita Rizzo, the future Mother Angelica, grew up in a working-class neighborhood in Canton, Ohio during the Great Depression. Rita's father abandoned the family before she was 5 years old. Her early years of trial were compounded by a debilitating illness until she was healed by Jesus through a woman named Rhoda Wise. That healing set her life on a course that would ultimately change the world. Learn the amazing story of Rita Rizzo at the Mother Angelica Museum in her hometown of Canton, Ohio. Go to www.motherangelicamuseum.com. Be inspired. Plan your visit now at motherangelicamuseum.com.
Family, with many of us hitting the road to visit our families again, with a Sacred Heart Radio app on your phone, you can hear the Sunrise Morning Show and Driving Home the Faith no matter where you go. Download the app by going to sacredheartradio.com and clicking on Listen. Now, while you're on our website, click on Store and get travel mugs for everyone. And you can also click on Donate to give a special summer gift to Sacred Heart Radio. We're praying for your safe travels and thank you for your prayers and gifts that have made Sacred Heart Radio possible for 20 years and counting.
Support is from Revelation Media.
A battle is raging in America for the plight of the unborn. Now is the time to pray and to get involved. Do not miss the new award-winning movie, The Matter of Life. The Matter of Life has been hailed as the best film ever produced concerning the unborn and can be seen for two nights only in a theater near you. Visit FathomEvents.com to reserve your tickets for May 16th or May 17th. That's FathomEvents.com. FathomEvents.com. It's a matter of life.
This is Dr. David Anders. Does the problem of evil keep you from believing in God? Join us for Called to Communion this afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern. Now, back to the Sunrise Morning Show.
Here's Anna with headlines.
Relief could be coming for parents struggling to find baby formula as a factory in Michigan is expected to reopen and resume production by the end of the month. In Washington, senators are advancing a bill aimed at providing more aid to Ukraine, and Starbucks is becoming the latest company to offer travel costs for an out-of-state abortion.
News at the top and bottom of each hour every weekday morning here on the Sunrise Morning Show. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday, the 17th of May. Dr. Kevin Vost now joining us. He is author of Memorize the Stoics, The Ancient Art of Memory Meets the Timeless Art of Living. Dr. Vost, good morning.
Good morning, Matt.
So we've been working through the Handbook of Epictetus and thinking about some of the wisdom from that. And in order to memorize and remember the wisdom, we're using imagery from a house. So we started by walking in the front door and seeing a jet fighter control panel, and that reminded us of the dichotomy of control. Then we saw the doormat, looked down, and saw a guy standing on it saying, "Desire," right? And it reminded us to discipline our desires. Now, for part three, we are looking out the glass panel next to the door, and what are we seeing and why?
Well, when you look out that glass panel out in the front yard, you see a young child there with a broken mug, crying over a broken mug, and you kind of think to yourself, gosh, I hope nobody steps on those shards. So that's our scene. And why are we seeing that? Well, Matt, this little chapter of Epictetus, the third one, is pretty short. So if you don't mind, I can read the whole thing. We should remember to ask of everything we find attractive or useful or of which we are fond, what is your nature? If you say to yourself, I am fond of a jug, you'll not be disappointed when it breaks, since you will remember that fragility is a part of its nature. Then he says, now consider, too, the nature of your child or your wife. And when you kiss them, remind yourself that you kiss a fragile, mortal human being, so that if they should die, you will not be devastated. So there's that very powerful little chapter in its full.
Yeah, it's reminiscent of the whole memento mori concept within Christianity that's embedded from the beginning, right? That whoever seeks to, you know, hold on to his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for the Lord's sake will gain it back. To not hold too tight a grip on even our own existence.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting from Epictetus because he has this great knack of starting with the simplest things you could imagine, you know? Because, like, you know, breaking a mug, I think, who among us has never broken a glass or chipped off a handle?
I've broken hundreds, Dr. Vost.
Oh, yeah. I say, Sydney, I think maybe once a year, twice a year. Oh, I chipped that.
That's not, my rate is a lot higher than that.
Yeah, you know, it is. And it also can remind us of to look at any of our physical possessions that way. Like, you know, some of us are like into cars. And I think, like, sometimes I go to a parking lot, there's a beautiful new sports car, and it's parked diagonally, you know, taking up two or three spots because, you know, well, they don't want that car to get scratched, right? Well, I remember, and this is probably something you can relate to as a father, that years ago, our younger son, we heard him screaming, you know, yelling outside. He wanted us to come look. And he was so proud because he pulled his little toy fire engine from the back of the garage out into the driveway. The only thing was it had metal ladder hooks. And when he pulled it out between the cars, bumper to bumper, it scratched my wife's brand new car.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, knowing Epictetus, thinking about these things, in a sense, we could say to ourselves, you know, well, big deal. This is no big deal. We know how little kids are. We know how cars are. So it helps us, you know, not to be devastated or all upset. But then I do point out, well, yeah, then we did call the insurance agent, though, you know. So it's not telling us to be do nothing if something bad happens, but to do the right thing and never be devastated by it, even for something as serious as potentially the loss of a loved one.
Well, and this is where the whole Christian ideal of having a prudent understanding of what we are comes into play. Because, you know, if you recognize life as fragile, but you don't kind of moderate that, then you're terrified of everything, right? You're overprotective. If you don't recognize that life is fragile, then you're tempted to discard it or treat it callously or roughly, right? And so it's important to have that kind of Christian principle, the proper understanding of how we should treat things, knowing their fragility.
Yes, exactly. So a perfect fit there with just the nature and the dignity of human life, you know, and its fragility, you know, while we're here on earth. So some people think, oh, this is kind of like almost like a hard saying, you know, like some of Jesus's hard sayings. Oh, the Stoics are saying we shouldn't care if a loved one dies, but it's, you know, quite the opposite. We need to remember that they may well die. And of course, back here 2,000 years ago, you were much more likely to actually have a child die before you did. But yes, to do the opposite, to remember, you know, that there are time, we never know how much time we have with our children, with our spouse. We never know how much time we have on earth. So we have to make it count. We have to show our love to those children. We have to set things up to help them get to heaven, you know, while we're here to do that.
Well, in heaven is the thing that changes the game for us, right? Because if you don't have that hope of heaven, if you don't understand that you're made in the image of God, if all you've got is these 75 years, possibly less, then no wonder there's a cult of youth, right? No wonder people worship youth and beauty and power and money, because if this is the window of time that you've got before it all goes away, then that realization of your fragility can inspire terror and inspire obsession with all those things.
Oh, exactly right. Like when the Stoics were writing, you know, but before Christ, before they knew the truth of the future world, yeah, a lot of their writings was focused on trying to temper people's fear of death. Because just that, the thinking, you know, that's it. You know, here's my 70 years, or maybe it'll be 22 years, who knows, and then that's all. But the Stoics, using their reason, some of them reasoned that this may not be the end. You know, some did have some kind of vague, well, many did recognize some form of God,
And some thought, you know, perhaps we will continue living. But they didn't know for sure. They didn't know Jesus. So in that case, yeah, a lot of their writings was specifically focused on trying to temper people's fear of death that was so widespread.
All right. So today we're talking about the fragility of life and how we should think about it, knowing its fragility. We looked out the window, the panel next to the door. We saw a child breaking a mug. And that's the image that helps us remember. So if you could, Dr. Vose, just very quickly before we let you go, walk us through where we are in the house so far and the stops that we've made.
Sure, sure. We came to the front door of my house. You open the front door, there's this two control panels from a jet fighter. And that is our symbol that reminds us of the Stoic concept of the dichotomy of control. Some things are under our control, some things are not. We need to focus on the things that are under our control. And, of course, in the book, you know, this is all elaborated. But then number two, we come in, there's a doormat there. We notice on the doormat, there's this little man in a white suit. He's pointing to a crowned king, and he says, "Desire, desire." And it reminds us, like a little tattoo in the Fantasy Island, he said, "Deplane, deplane," whenever it landed. But it reminds us of the concept of the discipline of your desires that Epictetus addresses in the second chapter. Then just today, we're still in his foyer. We notice there's a glass panel next to the front door. We look out in the front yard. We see that child there crying over a broken mug. And this reminds us, yeah, this is Epictetus' chapter where he tells us, remember the nature of things, which includes the fragility of all of our possessions and the mortality of all of our loved ones.
Well, thanks so much, Dr. Kevin Vose. Again, his book is called Memorize the Stoics, The Ancient Art of Memory Meets the Timeless Art of Living. And it's linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Annie, are you starting to get your memorizations down
a little bit? I don't have that same brain, so it takes me a lot longer to visualize like that. But well, it's pretty incredible nonetheless.
Luckily, he's got pictures.
Yeah, helps. Yeah, the pictures definitely help in the book, that's for sure.
Well, again, you can find not only Dr. Kevin Vose, but all the people we talk to in the course of an hour, through the course of a day, really, at sunrisemorningshow.com. Next hour, we get to talk to Father Robert Nixon, more thoughts from Thomas Akempis on humility, Father Frank Donio on the Blessed Virgin Mary's vocation, Steve Ray on telling time in the Bible, and Chris McGregor with more from the Office of Reading. So stay with us. Speaking of telling time, it's 3 minutes till.
I have chosen.